Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. As we conclude our series, A New Year in Jesus, we will now do a study of Psalm 15. Verse 1 declares, quote, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? Who are the kind of Christians that Jesus enjoys spending time with? Who are the disciples that our Heavenly Father is pleased with? Let's open our Bible now that we might learn the secret of walking in the presence of Jesus.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a Tuesday morning here in Texas. We just had Bible study and man, it was good. Hopefully you're having a rocking year in Jesus. Hopefully so far this January has been a productive year in Jesus, that this new year has just been a time of renewed focus, renewed intentionality, renewed discipline in your walk in service to Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the meaning of life. I promise y'all, I promise every single one of us in the world that at the end of our lives, when we come to the last day or the last hour of our lives, and if we're conscious and aware of it, we won't be thinking to ourselves, you know, I wish I spent less time in our Bible, in my Bible. We won't be saying, you know what, I wish I spent less time in prayer. We won't say, you know what, I wish I spent more time watching Netflix. I just wish I spent more time on Instagram. None of us will say any of those things, right? So let's begin today. Again, if you've been rocking this year, that's wonderful. If you said, no, I ain't got started yet, well, today's the day, right? Let's get started in being a little bit more intentional in how we are thinking about Jesus throughout the day, how we're thinking about being pleasing to him, how we're thinking about living for him, loving for him, giving for him, forgiving for him. And again, not as a religious exercise, but as a relationship with him. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you that you've given us a new year to live in Jesus, Father. Father, I ask you to help us. I ask you to help us, to convict us, help us by your Holy Spirit to live this year in a more Christ-filled, Christ-focused way than any year of our lives. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We thank you. We thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we can never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen. And we worship you today, our risen Savior. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts to understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're ending our New Year series on a new year in Jesus. It'll conclude today, Lord willing. We're going to talk about Psalm 15. We're going to talk about being in the presence of Jesus. And this is for many, this is a confusing topic, okay? They don't understand the presence. They understand aspects of the presence. Most people, when they think of the presence, they often think about being in church. They often think about when you're singing songs in church, when you're doing praise or worship, that somehow when everybody comes together, they believe that, that the presence of the Lord is there, and often it is, okay? But that is that's the lesser part of the presence, if I can say so. The presence of the Lord, dwelling with the Lord, spending time with the Lord, being around the Lord, and him wanting to be around you and spend time with you comes from your relationship with him and frankly, the effort you put in pursuing him, okay? We can make every excuse in the world, and I'm hearing consistently, it seems, pastors make every excuse in the world how you can have this incredible relationship with Jesus when you really don't give him any time. You may go to church once a week on Sunday, and they somehow think that if you get this revelation, that somehow your relationship with Jesus is just going to explode. It doesn't work that way. It's never worked that way. Okay? We need to get a revelation, number one, that we're sinful, that we need a Savior, and only in Jesus Christ can we be forgiven of our sin, delivered from an eternity in hell, have relationship with Jesus and our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit, and ultimately go to heaven when we die. Okay? We certainly need that revelation. Certainly we need to have an understanding or a revelation that our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally. Okay? But we do need a revelation of what is it? Jeremiah 29, 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Okay? So again, the depth and the maturity and how you experience the presence of Jesus and our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit in your life is going to be dependent on how much you pursue each relationship. How much time are you going to spend with your Heavenly Father this year? How much time are you going to spend with Jesus and the Holy Spirit? And again, how do you spend time with them? First of all, spending time in the Word of God, reading and studying, meditating on your Bible, memorizing the Bible, putting more of the Word of God in you. I mean, that right there is the number one way you spend time with Jesus, is getting His Word into you. That's number one. Now, number two, and it is behind number one, is our communicating our heart to Him, speaking to Him. It's essential that we have a growing prayer life. Now, why do I say that's number two? Why is prayer behind reading the Scripture? Because when we're reading the Word of God, okay, when we're reading the Bible or listening to teachings like this, these are our Heavenly Fathers, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This is God's Word to us. These are literally His words, which are food for our spirit and our soul. And His word to us is the most valuable thing in our lives in Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? Now, prayer primarily is an exercise of our words to Him. Now, again, we can't grow in relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, if we don't have a growing prayer life, if we're not having conversational prayer, if we're not talking to Jesus more and more and more throughout the day. But it's important we understand that His words to me, His words to us, are indeed more important than our words to Him. So, but number one, you want to be in the Word of God. That's how you're going to spend time and grow in your devotion and walk with Jesus. Reading, studying, meditating, most of all, obeying the Word of God, repent where you fall short. And you want to spend time in prayer and praise and thanksgiving, as we've talked about, right? In all of these teachings. We want to spend time in worship. We talked about how everything we do is worship, okay? Is it Matthew 5, verse 8? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Again, the more you do these things, the more we become transformed, and the more you begin to experience His presence, because you see Him moving in your life, and it starts to get exciting, right? And I'm not saying see Him with your physical eyes. You begin to see Jesus moving in ways. You start to see things happen. You just see occurrences, you see blessings come into your life, you see opportunities come, you just see answered prayer, because again, you're more diligent in walking and pursuing Jesus. And then we talked about just, you know, having a lifestyle of repentance. Again, it's essential, a daily lifestyle. It doesn't mean about feeling bad, but it's about simply acknowledging the areas of your life that are out of place and going before Jesus and say, man, thank you, Jesus, for revealing that to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Again, you know, go to each member of the Trinity. Don't go to generic God generically, okay? Go to your Heavenly Father. Go to Jesus. Go to the Holy Spirit in prayer, praise, and worship. And only each member of the Trinity. You don't pray to angels. You don't pray to, obviously, demons. You don't pray to people alive or dead ever, okay? You want to go in praise, worship, thanksgiving, prayer to God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, one being, three distinct individual persons. And in Jesus, we have personal relationship with each person of the Trinity. So again, a lifestyle of repentance. And then, of course, of obedience, of just growing obedience in every aspect of your life. And of course, you go back and you repent where we were disobedient. And so again, as you do that more, as you pursue him more, just like any relationship, we're going to get out of it what we put into it. But here in Psalm 15, David, King David, again, incredible, right? Wrote what? Around 100 Psalms. He was called a man after God's own heart, a heart for the Father. You know, David, you know, Jesus had not been revealed. David had a revelation that the Messiah would come, but he didn't have Jesus full blown like we have. Okay. I mean, we have Jesus living in us by the Holy Spirit. David didn't have that. The Spirit would come on David. The Holy Spirit lives in believers. But in Psalm 15, we have an incredible revelation of the presence of the Lord. In as much of how much we're going to live our lives wanting that presence. So again, there is an aspect of the presence of the Lord that you experience in corporate praise and worship and thanksgiving. There is an aspect of the Lord where his presence comes by grace alone. When we just focus on him, meditate on him, sing to him, talk to him, where we experience his presence. And that's true. Okay. But the vast majority of his presence is going to come in cooperation. It's going to come certainly by his grace, but it is going to come from our pursuing him, our making an effort to live in a way that's pleasing to him is by and far what's going to facilitate his presence. And again, what do I mean when I say his presence? It's him wanting to be around us, right? Certainly it's him filling the atmosphere and all that, and you're here. And again, churches sing that in church, and that's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. I like it. Okay, but that hour or 2 hours you're in church, okay, or whatever the worship service is, that's not the highlight of his presence. David is going to give you an outline here in Psalm 15, 1-5, of how to experience the presence of the Lord, how to walk in the presence of the Lord, how to just to hang out with him. And he's going to give you an outline of who the Lord wants to be with. Who does he want to hang out with? We talked about this last time. Look at John 14, verse 23. It's a remarkable verse. Jesus speaking, it says, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. So again, love for Jesus is to work to do what he's told you to do in every way. Just continue to live out and obey the whole Bible. You begin by obeying, by believing what the Bible said, repenting, changing your mind by any areas you don't believe the Bible. And then you believe you obey Jesus by living your life and, you know, according to what the Bible teaches. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. And Jesus is speaking about, again, just men and women that he's in relationship with. But do you see that? The more you love Jesus, which is to say the more you think about him, the more you're looking to please him. And Jesus said you please him by obeying him. That the more you'll experience the love of your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father loves you unconditionally. But how you experience that is different than the love itself. And we talked about that last time, so I won't go into it again. That if you have children, you love them both unconditionally if you have two. But how they experience that love is going to be different depending on whether they are loving and obedient children that are living according to the pattern you set before them, or as opposed to being rebellious, disobedient, disrespectful children. They, by necessity, should be experiencing your love in a different way, all the while knowing you love them both unconditionally. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. He certainly loves us unconditionally as the Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But the more we obey Jesus, the more we walk with him, the more it unlocks deeper levels of the love of the Father and the presence of the Father. It says, if anyone loves me, he will obey me. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. Didn't say we'll go to heaven. It said, they will come to us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit as Christians. He's always there. But the Father and Jesus will be at home with us. Like, what's that like when you're at home with somebody? We talked about that last time. But look at it here in Psalm 15. David's going to talk about something very similar, right? He says in verse 1, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? Psalm 15, 1. Who do you want to hang out with, Lord? Who do you want in your presence? Who do you just like being with, right? It's not fun being around children that are rebellious and disrespectful. We were talking about that at Bible study today, you know, or anyone really for that matter. It's not fun to just being around someone that's cantankerous, right? Now, you know, I'm convicted because I've acted that way. Forgive me, Lord. Recently, I'm sure. And the Lord don't want to be around it. No one else does. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? It's not talking about salvation here, okay? One of the great problems of the church is we tend to view almost all scripture through the lens of salvation, when in reality, the vast majority is not speaking about salvation, okay? Salvation comes only by trusting in Jesus, receiving Jesus, you know, believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, God the Son, and believing that your God, Jesus, willingly entered this world for you, lived a perfect, righteous life on your behalf, died a torturous death on the cross on your behalf, and was raised from the dead. But by believing that and receiving him, John 1:12, yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. By simply humbling before yourself, before the Lord, calling out to him, Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not our words that save us, but we do use our words to communicate our heart to Jesus, right? Just humbling yourself from that place of understanding that you're a desperate, hopeless, hellbound sinner, and just receive him, right? That's salvation. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, to be the Lord of my life. I do know I'm a hopeless, desperate sinner, but I believe you are who you say you are, the Son of God, and I do believe you came into this world and lived for me and died for me and rose again. And therefore, I ask you to come into my heart, Lord Jesus, to save me from my sin, to bring me to heaven when I die. I place all my faith and hope and trust and confidence in you alone to save me and to be my everlasting Lord and God. That's salvation, okay? You're saved not by anything you do, but by simply believing the good news, the gospel, believing what I just set forth before you. That's what the scripture teaches. And then genuinely receiving the free gift of salvation, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. A Christian is someone who's presently clinging to Jesus alone right now for their salvation and forgiveness of sin, right? But, you know, David is not speaking about salvation here. When he says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, almost everyone reads that as if it's talking about going to heaven when you die. No. Okay? Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? Who do you want to hang out with? Okay. Now, we know this is not talking about salvation because everything David is going to talk about is a lifestyle. Okay. Never did we get to heaven by verses 2-5. Never do we get to heaven by anything we do. But we experience relationship and growth and maturity and what the Bible calls sanctification and transformation, becoming more like Jesus, by us cooperating with the grace of the Holy Spirit and working together with the Holy Spirit, who's driving us to be more like Jesus. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live in your holy hill? David is asking a question. There are two questions. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Verse 1. Who may live on your holy hill? Verse 1. Two questions. David is asking, he's asked, the Holy Spirit is leading David to ask, who does the Lord want to hang out with? Who does he want to be with? Who does he want to come and be with? Who is he at home with? Who is he comfortable with, right? We read it in John 14:23. The Father and Jesus are comfortable with those who love Jesus and are obeying him, just like we're far more comfortable around children that are obedient. It's not comfortable being around a cantankerous, disobedient, disrespectful child. I have no idea why parents have a hard time admitting that. Yes, you love that child equally, but you're not comfortable. You're not pleased with disobedience, right? You're far more pleased with a child that's obeying you and repents when they fall short and is respectful. Of course. All right. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, who may live in your holy hill. And look at these qualities. Verse 2. He whose walk is blameless and does what is righteous. The first thing, now notice it says walk. It doesn't mean you're perfect, okay? It's not talking about salvation. Only in Jesus are all of your sins forgiven. All of your sins, past, present, and future, are put to Jesus on the cross, and his perfect, like, righteous life is imputed or credited to you. It's a nice swap, huh? That's the gospel. All of your sin imputed or credited to Jesus on the cross when you receive him, and the perfect righteous life he lived is credited to you. That exchange, my disgusting wicked sin for his perfect righteous life, that exchange is the heart of the Christian gospel. So the first thing, the Lord wants to hang out with someone who doesn't have a lifestyle of just always doing what's wrong. He whose walk is blameless. You want to experience the relationship with the Lord? If the vast majority of your walk is lying, cheating, stealing, wrongdoing, the Lord don't want to hang out with that, okay? And nor would you. Who wants to hang out with someone who's just doing everything wrong? Now again, none of us are perfect. What am I saying? This is someone whose lifestyle. To be blameless, he whose walk is blameless. Doesn't say he's perfect, but his general lifestyle or her general lifestyle is one that's not characterized by constant wrongdoing, okay? Blameless means you're not subject to blame. You're not doing wrong. Not perfectly, but as a rule, you don't do wrong. Because that's different than doing right. Look, they're two different things. He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous. Okay? Not doing wrong is different than doing right. The Lord also wants to be around people who have this lifestyle of righteousness, meaning they take the time to think about what's right in anything, simply so they can do what's right, simply because it's right. They think about what's right so they can do what's right simply because it's right. And they have a lifestyle. Do you have that kind of lifestyle? He whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart. The Lord is not comfortable around people that lie all the time. So again, many of us are thinking, now, golly, I know I've told some untruths. That's true, but repent. Again, and you don't have to beat yourself up. It ought to be a joy of repentance. Any of these things that convict you, as they are me even now, you just repent. Who speaks the truth from his heart. The Lord enjoys being around people who lovingly speak the truth, okay? Now, it's funny. It's going to say here that the Lord doesn't want to be around someone that gossips. The Lord doesn't want to be around someone that talks negatively about other people behind their back, okay? And that's deep because many people who actually think they're experiencing the presence of Jesus really are not. Because if you have a lifestyle of gossip, let me explain what gossip is. Anytime you're talking negatively about someone outside their presence, you're engaging in gossip. And that's big because a lot of people will say things, well, I like to tell my wife or husband everything. It's sin. Okay? There's no need for you to tell your wife or husband what's wrong with every single person around your life or everyone that's not treating you right or everyone that's selfish. Because when you share that with anybody, let alone your wife, you're causing and even desiring that person to think less of whoever you're talking about. Jesse, one of our elders, was speaking about it today. It's a, you know, Jesse was very heavy-handed with it. It's such an immature quality, and yet we find it in church leaders all over the world. And again, we should look at it. I could see elements of this in myself, and we just need to repent. And I'll get to it here. Look what he says, verse 3. So who does the Lord want to hang out with? The one who speaks the truth from his heart, that's fine, but has no slander on his tongue, does his neighbor no wrong, and casts no slur on his fellow man. Okay? So, you know, you can't, it's good for you to speak the truth from your heart, but David is checking you. The Holy Spirit's checking you right away that you don't just tell anyone who'll listen about someone else, okay? If you got a problem with someone, then go to that person. Go to them directly, okay? You don't see Jesus talking about what someone did to him yesterday. So, who speaks the truth in his heart? Who does the Lord want to hang out with? Someone who has no slander on his tongue. That's how you use your mouth. The Lord does not want to be around someone that's consistently pointing out other people's failures. And do you know why that is? You know why it's almost nauseating to the Lord? Because when you're pointing out, or when I'm pointing out, or I'm willing to speak negatively about what other people are doing, it's so atrocious in his presence, because when we do that, we're showing clearly that we do not understand how bad we really are. We really actually think we're pretty good. We somehow think we're superior, okay? Someone who's careful to not speak negatively about anyone, to anyone outside their presence, okay? And again, I'm talking about, you know, normal things here, okay? You know, is going to experience the presence of Jesus more. Now, for anyone who's listening to this, okay, instead of being offended, just repent and say, you know what? I am going to change. I want to have no slander on my tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, okay, in the way of speech here, okay? So again, the Bible teaches, right? Jesus says, if you have a problem with your brother, go to him personally, okay? You know, there's really no need for you to share other people's shortcomings with other people. Who does his neighbor no wrong, casts no slur on his fellow man, right? I've had people in relationships, we all have had people who've done things wrong to us, or who we believe have hurt us, or been disrespectful, or selfish, or self-serving, or whatever it is, right? We've all been hurt. But to take effort, you go to the Lord and you talk to the Lord with that. And yes, if you need to talk about it, you go to someone that you know is at least, if not more mature than you in Christ. If you need to talk about a relationship, you should have a pastor, an elder, or somebody that you know is mature in the Lord, who does not practice this, who you have not seen talk poorly of other people as a lifestyle, right? Or when he or she does, they repent over it. And, you know, you share your heart. So this doesn't mean there's not a time for you to share and get counsel on relationships, but that you want to find very particular, very mature people to do that. Who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. Verse 4, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord. Golly, what does that mean? The Lord does, if you can be around people who are just nasty and ugly and vile and lying and cheating, if you can be around people that's their entire lifestyle most of the time and that doesn't bother you, there's something off and the Lord don't want to be around you. His presence doesn't want to. There ought to be a grief. It doesn't mean you don't be around him, but you despise the fact in your own life where you see evil. But he's talking about a person here that entire lifestyle is characterized by just lying, cheating, stealing, disobedience, a non-Christian who has no care for Christ and is just nasty and selfish and hurtful to others all the time. He's talking about a quality of person that's not only not a Christian, but has no use for Christ, and their lifestyle is identified far more by sin than it is by trying to walk with Jesus. We ought to despise that, okay? Who despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord. Do you have are you jealous of those who fear the Lord, or do you honor those? You know, when you see someone, are you happy when you see them walking with Jesus, even if it's more than you are in certain ways, right? Do you honor those who show a fear of the Lord, or do you make excuses as to why they do it and you don't? Jesus wants to be around those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts. Wow. Jesus wants to be around a man. Your heavenly Father wants to hang out with those who keep their word, those who are careful with their words, apologize, repent where they fall short, but keep their word. They let their yes be yes and their no, no. Who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury. Your heavenly Father wants to be around generous people. Okay? If you're cheap, again, now listen, this is not a legalistic list. Who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Obviously, your heavenly Father doesn't want to be around people who, you know, who will take money to lie about or cheat innocent people. But look at the end of verse 5. He who does these things will never be shaken. Wow. None of us do these things perfectly, Again, this has nothing to do with your salvation, but again, if you want to experience the presence of the Lord in this new year, if you want to make this a great year, examine yourself under each of these things, okay? Look at the ones where you're falling short. All of us do some of them better than others, and simply repent, okay? And again, your Heavenly Father is not looking for perfection. And it's not like, you know, let's say you do have, you do gossip way too much. You do consistently feel like it's okay to talk about, who knows, various people. This is epidemic in the church when they're not around and what they've done wrong, okay? But you do the other things good. It doesn't mean because you have one of these out of place, your Heavenly Father is just going to abandon you, okay? He'll never leave you or forsake you. This is about experiencing His presence. His presence is always there, by the way. Always. How we experience that presence, okay, is going to depend on our effort to live for Him and please Him. So again, look for the ones that you need to do better. I'm certainly doing that in my own life. We did that in Bible study this morning. And begin to make the adjustments, okay? No condemnation, no shame. Don't beat yourself up, but go before Jesus. And I'll close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your goodness. Lord Jesus, we want Your presence. We want to see You, Lord. Lord, we know Your word says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God, Lord. And so I ask You to refine us, refine the impurities in our heart, Lord. Just help us, Holy Spirit. Just get the impurities out of us, cleansing us of unrighteousness, that we might walk with You according to this pattern that You gave David to live out for us, Lord, because we want to hang out with You, Lord Jesus. We want to dwell with You. We want You, Father, and You, Lord Jesus, and You, Holy Spirit, to be at home with us. So we thank You for Your mercy and goodness on our lives. We thank You for Your love. We thank You that You're patient with us. Holy Spirit, we ask You to seal this to us now and convict us as we labor to live in line with Psalm 15 in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.